From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It's hard to keep up with music these days. The music business is complicated enough in the era of the internet, and there are so many new bands and performers. But wouldn't it be a cool job to be the person who tried to make sense of all of this, or at least try? That's what Bob Boylan does. He's the host of NPR's All Songs Considered, and he sees a lot of bands. They'll come to him at NPR, or he'll go to them. His taste in music is all over the map, but when he hears something he likes, he knows it, and he shares it. Today in the program, Bob will join us again as we go over the best music of the year so far. We've got a stack of stuff to play today, and that's pretty much all we'll do. So settle in and join us. We'll be back after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. If you're trying to keep track of all the music that comes out every year, making a best of list makes some sense. We do it here, as you know, late December, January, maybe it is. We bring Bob Boylan of NPR's All Songs Considered on the air to talk about and to play the best music. But usually there's just too much music for one show, too many new performers, too many surprising acts, so you've got to break this stuff up. Today in the program, we're doing just that. We're talking about the year's best music so far. It's pretty straightforward. Bob is joining us to play some of the music that's caught his attention so far. You can join us with your own suggestions if you like, the music that you're listening to these days. 801-585-WEST, the number to join us, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Bob Boylan is the creator and host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered. He's been the director of All Things Considered. He himself, an electronic musician with a number of recordings to his name. Bob is joining us from the studios of NPR in Washington. And Bob, welcome. Welcome back. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you. I love this time of year. I love doing this with you.
I guess we should mention good stuff too, right? We did a lot of good stuff, and that's why I kind of want to jump in. But let me mention that you can find a list of this music we're going to be talking about, as well as links to all songs considered on our website, kuer.org/radiowest. Okay, let me just start though with a question. I mean, we ask this. I always ask you this. End of the year. But so can you characterize so far the music you're listening to? I mean, is it, you know, sometimes it's big albums, sometimes it's new performers. I mean, are you finding any trend yet?
Joy. Absolute gushing joy, honest and truly. It's really, I mean, not everything we're going to play is that way, but so many groups I go out and see, just big 9, 12, 13 piece bands. You know, multiple percussion oftentimes, group singing.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Well, I want to talk about some of these, but I guess I wanted to start with Fleet Foxes. Sure. We've talked about this band. I mean, it was only a few years ago that we were talking about the Fleet Foxes. It was their first title, their first album, self-titled album. You gave them, I think you said it was the best album of the year, if I'm not mistaken, which gives them kind of high expectations for the next one. And they did pretty well in this next one, it seems.
They did. They did do pretty well. They are, to me, they're sort of a family band record. And what I mean by that is that everybody in the family can get behind the Fleet Foxes.
Right.
And I don't mean that. I mean that only in a very complimentary way. I don't mean that as a put down. They're not compromising. But they have wide appeal.
A Seattle-based band, we should say, frontman Robin Pecknold, and it's a big band. I mean, a lot of talented musicians. They all seem comfortable on multiple instruments. They were here a couple weeks ago. I saw them, and I have to say they're terrific live.
I haven't seen this tour yet, so I'm still eager, and I'm going to try to get them and do a tiny desk. Hey, if you're out there when you come to D.C., Fleet Foxes. You know, in fact, when I mentioned family, I was just quickly thinking we should get to music. But I think the sister does the tour managing when we did a live concert with them. The father was in the chat room.
Wow. Well, it's a folk band, I guess. But the thing that really stands out, certainly on the first album, is all this. It's unique. It's harmonizing. And it's like they come from almost from a different time, which seems to be another theme in a lot of the music I'm hearing.
Well, let's listen to some of this. Give people an idea who never heard them. Yeah. What do you think?
Okay. So this is... this is the track from the album is called Helplessness Blues. This is the song Helplessness Blues. You want to say anything about it?
any millennial, any person in their sort of 20s should listen to the message of this song, and then we'll come back and talk about that message.
I was raised up believing I was somehow unique, like a snowflake, distinct among snowflakes, unique in each way you'd conceive. And now after some thinking, I'd say I'd rather be a functioning cog in some great machinery, serving something beyond me. But
Fleet Foxes, Helplessness Blues, full of great songs like that, by the way. What did you make of that particular song? Why did you pick that particular one? It's
I love, there's that opening, the opening verse, it says something to the effect of, I was born to think that I'm some unique little snowflake. Yeah. But you know what? I'd rather not be that. I'd rather be some little piece of something very big. And I think that's just a beautiful way to look at life. I really do. I think maybe certain generations, maybe my own included, as parents, taught their kids to think they're little special snowflakes, and in a way they are. But there's so much more to life than that. And that song to me is about, he doesn't know what. He said, I'll get back to you someday.
Right.
but he knows that, and as a member of a band who sings in harmony, and the harmonies being the thrust of the band, being a part of something, yeah. being the, you know, the maybe the bass, maybe here the harmony that does the thirds, but whatever it is, it's really great to be a part of something.
You know, the pieces, when you see them live, particularly this concert, when you see it this from this album, they seem like these epic poems almost, that they have these, that they're telling stories like this. Almost all of them seem like that they're that they have this kind of narrative quality, all of the pieces.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've seen a lot of shows this year, but not that. So.
Well, I want to go to talk about Typhoon. And by way of introduction, I guess we should say that you saw them at South by Southwest, and not once and not twice, but three times. I mean, you
and
said
I've
you
seen
were...
them three times since.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you were really carried away by this band.
I am. You know, the story, first of all, of their lead singer who, at a young age, was bitten by a bug, and it changed his life. Mm. Lyme disease, transplants because of it. He basically lost his childhood. And as a young adult, He's writing songs about that, which could be really awfully depressing,
yeah,
Doug.
Yeah.
But that's not what he's doing. He's saying, basically, life is precious. Life is something to celebrate. The mundane and pedestrian, the everyday stuff is just a marvel. And so that's what the songs are about. And we should give a listen to Typhoon. They're a big band, sometimes 10, 12-piece band, a couple of percussionists. Absolutely wonderful.
You guys described it as an indie rock take on chamber music.
Yeah, I'd second that. If I didn't, I think Robin said that, but I'd second that.
Yeah, here's the song. It's called "The Honest Truth" from the band Typhoon. Ben Typhoon, it's the song The Honest Truth. The album is Tender Loving Empire. This is becoming one of your favorites, it sounds like.
It really is. And there's a part in this song a little later on where there's just a hallelujah chorus. I don't know if we have time to scoot in and play a little bit of it, just about another minute in, where he says something to the effect of, and there's a very religious overtone to their music and a few other bands that are around these days. That basically just says, you know, something like, all my time, O Lord, I've been blind, but now I see light peeping through the door jamb. And then he sings, you know, something like, hallelujah, it'll all be gone soon. And it's just this beautiful, rousing appreciation. So I don't know if we... One live. Wow.
It's hard to let go of these songs, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, totally.
Well, joy, if we're using joy as the theme, I sensed that in Group Love.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Let's talk about them. This is they have an album called Never Trust a Happy Song. And this is another band you heard at South by Southwest.
Actually, this band is a group I heard of before I went to South by, but really came to know them with a new album that's not yet out.
Right.
And sometimes you get stacks of records, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And I blindly put them on. I don't even look at what I'm putting on, and I just throw it in. And I was working on a show which was going to happen in about an hour and a half, and I only had two things I liked all week, which was really not very many, and I needed more. And all of a sudden, my gosh, can we just play this? This is Group Love, a song called, can we do Tongue Tied?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, that'd be great, from Never Trust a Happy Song. It's not even out yet, but this will sweep you off your feet.
That's Group Love, Tongue Tied. Never Trust a Happy Song is the name of that album.
I like that title.
I do too.
Though I do trust happy songs, I still like the title.
Well, it is a happy song.
Yeah, it really is. And that album is just fully charged like that. I know so little about these folks. I know there's a couple. There's two friends that only just met, Christian Zucconi, Hannah Hooper. She's just one of the singers. And
they met in Greece or something, right?
Well, I think they met in New York, and then like a week later decided to go off to Crete, the island of Crete, to some artist, they say artist colony. I don't quite know what that means, but let's say some residency where artists get together. And there they started playing around with songs, not with the intent to make a band. And they met other musicians who later down the road got back together and started making these songs, flesh them out, and they put an EP out. I think you've heard that EP came out about a year ago.
Yeah.
And now this new record comes out September 13th. Just fabulous.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. James Blake.
We're going to go from the very celebratory to bleak.
I guess bleak is the way to say it. I mean, he's one of these singers, and there's Adele is one who we have on the list. We may get to that. But like Adele, Blake is very young. He's 21 or something like that, 22. Sounds a lot older. And another performer you saw at South by Southwest. And it was his second U.S.
second
performance.
Yes, right.
But you say totally went over the crowd.
His music is totally did win over the crowd. And with music that doesn't uplift. It's full of these big open spaces that have all this tension that he builds. And in some ways, it's sort of a little uncomfortable music, can I say? I mean, I think that people don't come to it easily, but it is so brilliantly executed. He did mostly electronic-y instrumental music for a long time and then opened his mouth on a record and an album that came out that people didn't even know or few people knew he even sang. Mm. And what he has in that voice of his, and you'll hear, is what to me makes the record work, is this soul, this absolute white boy soul that is so counter to the sort of starkness of the music. We should just play some and give people an idea of what's going on here.
Is he up there alone?
He is not up there. He has a band.
Yeah.
But he's certainly at the center of it.
Here he is, James Blake. The album is called James Blake, and this is the Wilhelm Scream. James Blake, the Wilhelm Scream from his album, James Blake. Bob Boylan, you called it electronic music with soul.
It really is. And the secret weapon besides his voice is that percussionist who you'd think maybe it's a drum machine. But I watched this guy. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. And I swear he's in his own little planet. And he's doing stuff that on one level looks like it's either counter point to what Blake is doing, and yet somehow it all glues it all together just magically. It's really beautiful and very clipped sounds. That bass is pretty cool.
Well, here's another London singer that you have on your list, Anna Calvi. Really ambitious debut album with this. It's kind of a bit. It's theatrical, I think, is the way I was thinking about it. A lot of kind of drama.
Yeah, a lot of drama in the music and the guitar too. She's the guitar player when you listen to what we'll play. I'm not sure you want to play. Maybe we'll play Desire.
Desire, yeah, Desire.
That'd be cool. So, she's one I haven't seen yet. Huh. She's one of my one of the artists I've just waiting to see after hearing the record that just floored me. I can't believe it's only been this year. It feels like a long year because there have been so many releases, and she is she's a Brit. I know I read something about Brian Eno, which put me over the top for her, and we said, you know, you absolutely have to see this woman. And yeah, like you say, it's sort of a very dramatic music. Reminds me a bit of, if you know the group Television, if anybody out there knows the group Television, in the way she styles her guitar playing. But she's her own, so we should listen.
Anna Calvi, here's a song called Desire.
Devil.
Anna Calvi, her song Desire. The album is Anna Calvi. It's her debut album. I hear Patti Smith in there. You mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I like that.
Also, Edith Piaf. She's got the passion of Edith Piaf and the starkness of Duane Eddy.
She even did a, I mean, it's ballsy to do a Piaf cover, but she did. She did Jezebel as one of the first things that people ever heard of hers. She's the only artist, I think I picked about 15 or so cuts. I'm just looking at some of the things I picked. I don't think there's an artist other than Anna that I've never seen live. And boy, I've got to do that. That's just, I don't know where I got to go to see her, but boy.
Anna Calvi. And then as we head into a break here, Bob, I'll just mention Adele. I mean, she's gotten a lot of play, obviously, but you got to hand it to her. It's a terrific album, 21,
really is. Really is.
And it's on your list. So
I'm thrilled by it. She's not the normal kind of artist that I fall for. Her songs are a little more predictable than much of the music I will often pick. That said, her execution is so brilliant. And she's seeing her on stage, if you ever get a chance. She has this cockney cackle that is completely counter to the kind of beautiful, powerful singing voice she has.
Here's a bit of Rumor Has It. Bob Boylan is with us, host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered. We're needed to take a brief break. We'll be back in a moment. This is Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're playing music. Bob Boylan, host of NPR's All Songs Considered, is back with us. We're talking about the best music of the year so far. Bob, of course, joining us from NPR in Washington. So, Bob Boylan, all right, let's go to something completely different. And I'm trying to imagine Colin Stetson on a stage, and he's up there alone, and he's got with him this huge bass sax.
It must weigh a ton. And he's not a big guy. He's a muscular guy. Do you know what circular breathing is?
No, no.
So, okay, so here it is. And listen to it when we play this song. Circular breathing is the ability, and try this, it's the ability to breathe in through your nose while you blow out through your mouth.
Oh,
so
yeah.
try that.
Yeah.
And so you never stop.
Right.
So you're constantly breathing in and blowing out at the same time. And for a saxophone player, it gives you the ability to do stuff that is almost magical, because you can't believe someone human can do that. Well, that's hard enough on a saxophone. A bass saxophone, like what Colin is the size of a large man, right?
Yeah.
And so the amount of breath it takes to do that is simply just unimaginable, circular breathe. And then to get the sounds out of what you're about to hear, that's another planet and another level of playing. There are no effects on what you're going to hear. This is a man blowing into a saxophone. You'll hear his groans and grunts, but beyond that, it's simply him and a sax. We should play some of it because it doesn't seem humanly possible.
Here's a song called Judges.
Thank you.
Bob Boylan, it sounds like a voice almost in there.
It does, yeah. I don't know where this man goes when he's doing what he does, but I've seen him completely drained at the end of one of these shows, just making this music. This record, this album, was recorded in a room with about 20-some-odd microphones, and so you get this incredible spaciousness as he moves around the room as the microphone picks up different parts of the sound. And yeah, it really does. It sounds, you know, I mean, you go into the animal kingdom and try to think of what animal this sounds like. You go, it's really quite unbelievable. It's not everybody's taste, yeah, but I think it's really worthwhile understanding the possibilities of music that are beyond the verse, chorus. And I think Colin Stetson does that. And the way to be really introduced to him is if you can't see him live. You may have already seen him live. I mean, the guy is known, and I first heard of him through Arcade Fire. I think he was on the very first record. He's played with Feist, Bon Iver. He's on tour with Now. Who else? I guess he's done the LCD Sound System, the National. I mean, he's been around, and he's one of those go-to sax players.
Amazing. New History Warfare, by the way, is the name of his album. Okay, so I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Balaké Sissoko?
Balaké Sissoko and Vincent Segal.
Vincent Segal. This is an album you really like. It's called Chamber Music, I guess. It's a cello and a kora.
Yeah, so which is an unusual combination. Kora is think of it as a big harp.
Yeah.
It's an African harp. It's 21 strings sometimes, most of the time. It is from Mali based, and you wouldn't think of it as played with a cello. But Balaké and Vincent Segal got together and started improvising together. Huh. And Segal's not your average cello player. I've seen this guy, again, like Colin Stetson, make sounds that you wouldn't think possible to come out of an instrument that you've seen played many times before, in this case, a cello. Hmm. You sometimes it sounds like somebody singing. Sometimes it sounds machine-like, really. And so their interplay, which is often a very improvisational interplay, is magic for both of them. You see the magic happen as they play. They surprise one another. They play off of one another. This is really lovely, special music.
They did a tiny desk concert at NPR. I'm not sure if you saw it.
I was in New York.
Is that right?
I had seen it. Yeah, what happened was it was a music festival. It's a world music festival I was in New York for, where I had seen them. They were there on a Sunday night, and they drove down to, or trained down to see, to my desk that next day, and I was still in New York for the rest of to actually record a show about the festival.
Of course.
So anyway, I didn't see them live at my desk, but that's a performance that would be a great introduction for people who have never heard this music.
Yeah. Well, here's a piece, Oscarine, I think is the name of it.
I think
this.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, from the album called Chamber Music.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. And in that case, the cello player is being more of a bass player, but the expanse is in this beautiful record, Chamber Music. Really nice record to have in your house, because it's a calming, gorgeous thing to just put on when you're home, sitting reading, or just want to sit and listen.
I couldn't figure out Pokey Lafarge.
Oh.
And the South City 3. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I think it sounds great, but it just, like, is it... kind of old-timey nostalgia. Talk about this. I want to play a bit of this because this is you really liked this.
Yeah, you know, I was walking around Newport Folk Festival, not this year, the year previous, and saw this guy with this slick down hair and this get-up. He looked like he stepped off a tour with Hank Williams, around 1951.
Yeah,
and I thought, what kind of shtick is this? You know, what kind of gimmick is this guy? And about 3 hours later, I go to a stage where Pokey LaFarge in the South City Three, and there he was. That was the guy I saw earlier. And I'll tell you, he is so involved in this old-time music that it really is him. It's not something he's just playing with for form. He loves this style of music that is very down-home, a lot of sort of joking around, wordplay, sexual wordplay, and just fun. And his band is really hot from St. Louis, and he lives this lifestyle. It is just not, you know, for show. He honors the music of the past in a really wonderful way, and he writes new music in that style. The guy could just be on a plain old 78. In fact, Jack White heard our live concert from Newport that year, and asked Pokey to come down to Nashville to White's new studios there, Third Man Records, and record. And they recorded a 45, and they actually put out a 78.
That's great.
Yeah. So
the album is Middle of Everywhere. And here's a clip from So Long, Honeybee, Goodbye, Pokey LaFarge.
I travel around this country Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Seems like I've been everywhere. Been a lot of places, seen so many faces, but always wish that you were there. They say a picture's worth a thousand words, oh, but there's still a thousand stories that you have never heard. Please tell me, darling, are you still true? All these times I'm away from you, when it comes time for leaving.
Pokey LaFarge in the South City 3. We're with Bob Boylan talking about the best music of the year so far. And we need to take another brief break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio.
You know that you mean the world to me. I got good bait and there's a lot of fish in that sea. You'll be the one to sit alone and cry when I say farewell, say la vie, so long, gonna be goodbye.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio, back now with Bob Boylan, creator and host of NPR's weekly music show All Songs Considered. Talking about music today, playing some of Bob's picks for the best music so far this year. You can find a list of this music that we're talking about today, as well as links to All Songs Considered at KUER.org/Radio West. Well, I really liked Cults.
Oh, good.
This is their debut album called Cults, and it's really kind of this poppy kind of 60s vibe, I guess.
Very much. You could even almost say 50s, 60s. I think there are a lot of Phil Spector girl groups in their soul, and they're young. I mean, these two, Madeline and Brian Oblivion.
Is that his real name, by the way?
I highly doubt.
Yeah, it's a great name for a band.
A
And they were a viral success, and it seems like that's the story of... Which is kind of typical for a lot who sort of come to your attention. Our attention is, you know, we first see an EP or something like that, and they become kind of a viral success. That's what happened with Cults, I guess.
Yeah, actually, I missed the original viral vibe. I'd gotten a CD in a stack, and I just went, "Whoa!" It was, and then realized that hey, a whole lot of people knew about it besides me.
Right. Well, say something about Abducted. I want to play a clip.
You know, a lot of their cuts where they have this happy, joyous music, and we talked about a lot of that kind of music earlier, jingly, jangly music, has a lot of darkness to it. In fact, their name, their obsession with cults, there are tapes of, people like Jim Jones, a cult leader, and, other characters who whose lives have not been pretty and often very ugly, and yet they have this joyous music wrapped in around it. I'm waiting to do a project with them because I want to sit down and really get inside their heads a little and understand it more. But as music, it really works because you have these tension of these two things, this very dark underpinning of conversations, often recorded tape of these dark leaders saying these quirky, odd things. And then you have this sort of very, sounds like the middle of summer music, you know, beach music in some ways. It's hard not to smile at that song. How about you?
Exactly. Good. Abducted. And that's their debut album. It's called Cults. You know, you were talking about putting different bits and pieces and of things on albums like Cults. And I was thinking about Bright Eyes. And the album has kind of has this weird beginning. I mean, there's this commentary about time travel and UFOs and the expanding universe.
He's traditionally done that. He starts records off with spoken word of some sort, some story, somebody telling something. This one is just another on another level. I mean, it's a fellow just talking about philosophies and dinosaurs, and you just go, where am I going? And then the album just rocks, unlike anything a Bright Eyes record's done for probably since 2005. And
they made a huge hit back then.
So I'd say, you know, the country-ish flavored Bright Eyes records of the last few years were enjoyable songs and so forth. But as an album, both the weirdness of the narrator and the way these songs really hold together is a great rock album. He's so young. And this is, I think, his eighth record.
Seventh, I think.
Yeah.
That's what Rob Hilton, I was reading him. He thinks this is the best one they've done.
Right.
He's never right. Okay, yeah. He thinks this is the best. However many they've done, he thinks this is the best one they've put out.
Well, it's certainly, for me, it's the best one I guess maybe the one, I think I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, and Digital Ash, which he put out together at the end of 2005, were stunning records for me. And these are the best for me since then. And I'm going to quickly count. I'm just going to quickly look here.
Okay.
Three, four, five, six. Yeah, I think Robin's wrong.
Yeah, he's always wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Connor Oberst, who wrote it, I mean, he says that they're trying to move away from that kind of, you know, Americana sound. So they're kind of going in a new direction, I guess, right?
He's a guy. I mean, you will always want to hear a new Bright Eyes record. You might not always love it. But you can you know that he's just going to always challenge himself, which is true of so many of the artists. As I look down the list of the things that I wind up liking, they're usually artists that, all right, they might not make the greatest record every time out, but they'll always do something that will be surprising, challenge themselves. And I guess that's why I follow a lot of these folks.
Mm. Their album is called The People's Key. We're going to play a clip from Haile Selassie. You want to say anything about it?
Yeah, I just play it. I think it just speaks for itself. It really rocks wonderfully.
Bright Eyes, their album, The People's Key, Haile Selassie.
I have no idea what that song is about, but I really like it.
I do too. I really liked Beirut.
Oh, good.
This is their third album. It's called The Riptide. I heard a little bit. We talked a little bit of Fanfarlo a year ago or so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of reminded me a little bit of that. It's one of those songs, kind of one of these bands where you get a sense that they're not stuck in the past, but it's music that seems to kind of reach back to another era for its, you know, for its language, even its influence in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I think and most of that is in the phrasing and the horns and the instrumentation, the arrangement. A lot of Mexico and that in it. But the guy's a sort of world traveler, Zach Condon. This is a pop delight, this record. It is, he's veered off in the past in some different directions, some electronic and so forth. This is more back to the heart of why I think Beirut attracted so many people. And I saw him perform a couple of these songs live a few months ago. They are just on fire. And they're not doing it with loud electric guitars. They're doing it with great arranging horns and really strong songwriting, good lyrics.
Here's a song. It's called A Candle's Fire. Beirut, Candle's Fire. The album is called The Riptide. I've left for last, Bob Boylan, King Creosote and John Hopkins.
Oh.
Because you said, back in May you said this, and this changes all the time, but you said if the year were to end in May, that would have been your favorite record of 2011.
If it ends today, it'll still be my favorite record.
Is that right?
2011, yeah. And, you know, usually you end on a bang. This is going to be the soft, maybe puzzling thing that we choose. So we'll end a little different, but that's okay. This is the non-celebratory, in many ways, record of mine, but still at the top. It's this collaborative project between this guy, King Creosote, his name's Kenny Anderson, from Scotland. This electronic musician who I'm very, very high on. If you're going to listen to one electronic musician, you want to pick up one. John Hopkins is his name. And he is a very creative soul. And the two of them, a very unlikely pair of folk artists and electronic musician, got together not necessarily to make a record, but just to make music together. And they did it over an expanse of many, many years. And I think I've heard seven, but maybe it's five. It doesn't matter. And in the end, they came up with this project that really celebrates a very rural life in Scotland. Very little electronics in this from an electronic musician. It's mostly a lot of recorded sound under Kenny Anderson's songs. They rearranged some old ones. Anderson's put out like 30. I mean, I can't even count how many records that guy, King Creosote, has put out. But they took some of this material and reworked it to sort of paint this picture of rural life in Scotland. And it's just stunningly beautiful.
You can find a list of all this music that we've been talking about today and links to all songs considered on our website. Bob Boylan, the creator and host. Bob, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for making me think of all this great music all over again.
King Creosote and John Hopkins, here's the song Bubble from the album Diamond Mine.
I won't let you fall as low as I.
Radio West is a production of KUER News. I'm Doug Fabrizio.
Unfair, it causes you sorrow.